Shalom.
I pray that everyone is having receiving a blessing from the feast. I know I am. And I pray that we continue to. Let's see. I'm looking at I have one slide as well. So there's my slide. I wanted to share with you today some things about a kinsman redeemer. This is a term that sometimes people have heard, sometimes people know about, but they're not really sure what's going on with the kinsman redeemer thing. Well, the kinsman redeemer is a goel. Oh, nobody. That's a Hebrew term. The Hebrew word goel means to redeem or to receive or to buy back. There is a provision made in Torah for the poor person who was forced to sell part of his property or even himself into slavery. His nearest of kin could step in and buy back what his relative was forced to sell. Let's look at Leviticus 25, verses 47 to 49. Leviticus 25, 47 to 49. It says, "And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself into the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself." The kinsman redeemer was a benefactor or a person who frees the debtor by paying the ransom price, if that makes sense. In Leviticus 25:25, it says, "If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold." The nearest kinsman had the responsibility of redeeming the kinsman's lost opportunities. If a person was forced into slavery, his redeemer purchased his freedom. When debt threatened to overwhelm someone, the kinsman stepped in to redeem his homestead and let his family live. If a family member died without an heir, the kinsman gave his name by marrying the widow and rearing a son to hand down his kinsman's name. That's in Deuteronomy 25:5. Where it says, "If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him wife, and perform the duties of an husband's brother unto her." And in Genesis 38:8, we see that in practice, where it says, "And Judah said unto Onan, Go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother." When death came at the hands of another man, the Redeemer also acted as the avenger of blood, and pursued the killer. according to Numbers 35, 12 through 34, and Deuteronomy 19, 1 to 3. The goel was used of things consecrated to Yahweh, according to Leviticus 27, 13 through 31. These are rather long passages, so I'll just tell you what they are. Of Yahweh as redeeming, as a redeeming man in Exodus 6, 6, Isaiah 43, 1, 44, 2, 48, 20, and 49, 7. And those redeemed by Yahweh in Isaiah 39, 9, 51, 10, Job 19, 25. The right of redemption and the office belong to the nearest kinsman. I know with that number of passages that support this, Scripture is complete in its idea that a redemption is possible of a family member. The right of redemption belonged, and the office of redemption belonged to the nearest kinsman. Yahweh is the great kinsman of his people. When their liberty was lost in Egypt, he rescued them from bondage. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 6, 5 through 7. It says, "And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be your Elohim, and you will know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." There are four promises in these two passages, these two verses. The first promise is, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He's redeeming his people. And I will rid you of their bondage. He's going to take them out of slavery. The second promise is, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. He's going to bring them back into the family. And number three, the promise was, I will take you to me for a people. He's going to be close with them. And the fourth promise is, I will be to you Elohim, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. I don't know if you're, you know, I don't like to bring up Jewish traditions, but there is a Jewish tradition around Passover that they have four cups during the Passover meal, during their Passover Seder. And the meaning of those four cups are based on these four promises. Just letting you know. And the one that they drank toward the end of the meal was the third cup, which says, I will take you to me for a people. That's the cup, the marriage cup. It's also the cup that they drink during a marriage proposal, during a civil marriage proposal, to take for me a people. Well, just sharing that with you. The ancient patriarch Job complained that no one came to redeem him. See, he knew there was a redeemer possible. His faith is seen reaching out and proclaiming that Yahweh will provide his Goel, his kinsman redeemer. In Job 19:25, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Wow. Well, let's kind of shift gears a little bit here. Ruth chapters 3 and 4. A close reading of these... Just read Ruth. Ruth is a good read. One of the most beautiful passages where the word Goel is found is in the life of Naomi in the book of Ruth. Naomi, which means pleasant one, is a picture of Israel that had wandered away from Bethlehem, the house of bread. She was the poorest person in Israel, but her kinsman was the richest man in Israel. Because of the death of her husband, it's kind of interesting when you attach the meaning of these Hebrew names. Naomi's husband was named Elimelech, which means Yahweh is my king. And her two sons, named Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sick, and Chilion means pining. So that doesn't present too good of a picture. She and her daughter-in-laws lost their income and their homestead. Naomi was living in a foreign land, and sensed the loss of her homeland and relatives, and she became bitter. Before I go on, I love the feast. I love the interaction. There's always some insights going on. I was talking with one of the brothers here yesterday, and this is homework for you. Don't get homework from a message often, but this is homework for you. I'm just going to share what I heard. Go out and research it for yourself. He presented to me some evidence that I think is pretty credible. Said that, you know, Ruth was an Israelite. And I said, well, no, I didn't know that. It said that the sons of Naomi and Elimelech married Moabite women. Well, the evidence that I saw said that before Elimelech and Naomi moved from Bethlehem to Moab, the Israelites went into Moab and pushed all of the Moabites out of that region, and they took up residence there. But they kept the name because it was regional. And they said, oh yeah, we live in Moab, but they were still Israelites. Go check it out. It's an interesting thing. And then the secret that her daughter-in-law Ruth had was in union with Boaz. Boaz means in him is strength. The nearer kinsman, presumably Boaz's brother, see, there was a nearer kinsman than Boaz. And Boaz's brother had the first right to the property. And Boaz came after him. If Ruth's closer relative would not redeem or purchase the property, Boaz was prepared to do so. The man who was the nearest of kin agreed to redeem the piece of land until he found out that there was a young widow involved. See, you can't just get the land without getting the widow as well. He graciously backed out, because it would mar his own inheritance. That's according to Ruth 4:6. Boaz was the nearest of kin to her deceased husband, according to Ruth 2:1. He was able to redeem by paying the price of redemption, and he was willing to redeem the land, according to Ruth 4:4. That is what makes this story so beautiful. Four things were required in order for a kinsman to redeem. He must be near of kin. He must be able to redeem. And he must be willing to redeem. And he must complete the redemption by completely paying the price in full. That's according to Leviticus 25:27 and Ruth 4:7-11. I find this wonderful because you see, Yahshua the Messiah is my Goel. He's my kinsman redeemer. Yahshua is your nearest kin through the incarnation. In Romans 8:3, he said, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh." In his incarnation, he was like us in every way, except he never sinned. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in these things, in things pertaining to Elohim, to make reconciliation for sins of the people." In order to identify himself with us, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a stake, according to Philippians 2:7-8. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Yahshua has the power to redeem you. "For ye know the grace of Yahshua the Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." 2 Corinthians 8:9. He assumed our debt and paid it with his life. Yahshua is willing to redeem you. Yahshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every Torahless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. I'll refer you to Titus 2:14 and 1 John 1:7, 1 John 2:2, Hebrews 10:12, 4:16, 2:17. Yahshua said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many," according to Mark 10:45. Yahshua is referring to his voluntary, sacrificial, obedient payment to effect the release of slaves, those captive to bondage. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. John 10, 17 and 18. Yahshua has paid the price in full that you might receive redemption. I love it. Over the years, people just kept quoting John 3:16. Everybody sees John 3:16 everywhere. Well, I'm going to quote John 3:16 and 17, where it says, "For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For Elohim sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I don't know why people leave that second verse off. The invitation is still open. Yahshua is the nearest kinsman to those who have fallen short of Torah. It's your responsibility to lie at the feet of your Goel and say, "So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." That's in Ruth 3, verse 9. That is a kinsman redeemer. "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." That's 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. There are some things of which I am absolutely sure. I'm absolutely sure that our redemption is precious. Our salvation has been purchased at a great and personal cost because Master Yahshua gave himself for our iniquities in order to deliver us from them. Our forgiveness is based on the ransom price of the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, in Ephesians 1 verse 7. The redemptive work of Yahshua delivers believers from the slavery of Torah-lessness. Is that a word? It really describes what I want to say, though. We have been a slave to Torah-lessness. This means the means of redemption is the ransom paid at the stake. No other way could a slave be made whole except through the full payment of the ransom and providing that the lineage will continue. Only Yahshua completely satisfied the requirements for redemption of all of his kinsmen. I want to look back real quick to ancient Israel at the time of the judges. Naomi comes out of her house holding her grandson. Her neighbors say, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Obed. That's a Hebrew name that means to serve. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. That's in Ruth 4:17. The lineage continues to Yahshua the Messiah, our kinsman redeemer. Hallelujah.